Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast. What to watch
on Point of View.
People forget that you have your own jingle, own liner, own intro. I mean, people must just put some respect on it.
But I'm a real person with my own liner.
This is Leroy Mark.
In fact, kupa ibe my ringtone. Every time you call me, it must remind me whom I am.
I'm about to joke. Leroy, you usher in a very early weekend.
Yes.
A very early weekend.
Yes.
And I must say, I didn't know whether to love you
or hate
or
me.
Resent you. But I do think that there are parts of you that don't like me very much.
Can I tell you what I try and do is to expand and stretch you.
No.
So that you delve into things that would make you uncomfortable.
Mm-mm.
Because I need you to go out there and
Mm-mm.
find new genres that will really shake you up.
We live in a very violent society.
It really is. Oof.
I'm not sure I need to see any more violence.
What's the old adage? Art imitates life?
No, Leroy. This was so ugly.
It really was. But it's also what's
this
really...
This was so disgusting.
It's what's happening.
Was it necessary?
I promise it's what's happening. First of all, there are a ton of movies coming out on the 2nd of May. I want you to know.
Mm-mm.
The blockbusters are chock full, right? But I wanted to say to you that South Africans seem to be liking our recommendation of 2 weeks ago of Michael B. Jordan's Sinners. I've gotten 4 different texts telling me how much they loved it because of our recommendation.
Nyani?
Yeah,
actually, people like your recommendation, let me tell you, because there are people who every now and then over the weekend say, what did you recommend?
Yeah, what?
what was that? By the way, and I've got to go back. I said, you do know, right? I just follow. I just follow. There is a leader.
So,
and my leader, let me do a quickly check and remember what my leader said.
You also would be very happy to know that I'm going to the roast of Helen Zille tomorrow.
Nyane.
It is being recorded tomorrow, so I'll come back and I'll tell you that some interesting people are going to be the panelists of roasts.
Isn't it Season Bofu?
Season Bofu is going to be there. Bongani Bingo is going to be there. There's going to be Patricia DeLille, I'm told. Roast Masters are doing Brake again. She's coming on board, so very exciting. So when I see you next,
I can handle the comedians that do Mimarakes. That's their job. That's what they do. I can. Hey, I don't know about Helen's. First of all, I thought great choice, but I started getting cold.
I'm trying very hard to not divorce myself, because remember the roast is meant to be a fun thing, and we often get very surprised by who's going to be the roast master, right? But I'm very surprised at the kind of people, because we've got people like Chiva Gumbi is going to be there. We know Chiva can do it. We know Loisa Kola, they're comedians, as you say. Malcolm Lyon from the Real Housewives of Pretoria.
So you can imagine that.
Patricia DeLille, who is going to be interesting because she has a very close relationship. Zai Bala, that was a bit confusing.
Let me tell you, Patricia DeLille is very funny.
She is.
She was here.
She is.
And she said some very funny things about one of the other politicians. We were on the floor. She was very hilarious.
And I think Auntie Pat, if you take away the fact that she's a politician, she really is.
We love her.
Auntie Pat, you know, she is the auntie who's sort of in everyone's home, so she's very familiar. I'm going to struggle a bit with the... another old hat who's been in this seat before. JJ Tabane will be one of the roast panelists. So he's going to be there with Susan Bofuwash et al. Lesego Tlhabi, flying in from France to come in to be Coconut Kells for the evening. So it's going to be very interesting. It's a weekend of comedy. So when I see you next, I'll be reporting back about how they did.
Yeah, I am looking forward to you. The last time we spoke about Minnie's one, eh?
Yes. So the last roast was the roast of Minnie Dlamini. She's been, of course, very topical because of what's been happening with another podcaster who we will not name.
We can name him. We can most definitely name and shame.
You know, and
most definitely we can name and shame
and
him.
And it was a bit heartbreaking for me because...
It's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. It's that. Wrong. That for me, I feel like it's so easy to go and like drag Minnie Dlamini, who's sitting in a corner minding her own business, right? Like she was doing what she was doing, and you drag her on.
But
and
you I mean, you're points. An entertainment person.
Yeah,
I guess this is his brand, is it not?
It is. It is, and I think this is what my issue has always been. There was lots of conversation this week about whether or not we should be regulating podcasts, right? And how, because we're holding to the BCCSA, we have the broadcasting ombudsman. We've got lots of people you can go to base our runner if I say something.
Cannot get out of hand.
We cannot get out of hand. But my thing about podcasting is it's such a new platform in South Africa that we're allowed to do whatever you want.
Yes.
And the shock value is that you're able to say things. I mean, there's no reason to be going in and speaking about people's bodies like on for fodder, right?
But let's be honest. Hasn't that audience allowed it?
Absolutely.
And it has found it funny. You know, it's what they watch. Actually, it's what they watch for, isn't it?
It really is, because if you also look at things like the Musa Kaolas of the world, who are sort of, you know, Twitter tabloid journalists now, and I use the word journalist actually maybe wrongly, is that people live for that kind of thing. And if you've been on the receiving end, as I have been, of one of these tirades, you actually realize just how jarring it is, because you literally, there's no...
You keep thinking, okay, where did that come from?
Yeah, it really is one of those things where you go, wait, where was I?
And
on an innocuous Tuesday where you go wherever you buy your groceries and then you find out that, you know, there's things happening about you. And it can be something that doesn't even, it's not even true.
Half the time it's not true.
Really, and you now have to spend time putting it back up and managing
it. Do you respond, by the way?
I don't, because what I've also learned is that when you respond, you know, you've got brand past. Partners, you've got employees,
you feed it, people.
You feed the
beast.
And once we've decided Hore Phemelo is in the wrong, the South African word oksalayo is one of my most heartbreaking responses, because oksalayo says to you, it doesn't matter how strong your argument is, it doesn't matter how strong the facts are, the evidence is
and
there.
And you know, when you decide to go into the mud with those people,
there's no coming out of it.
You are going to come out dirty.
Yeah.
They belong in the mud. Can you see the difference?
Yeah.
You are going to come out with mud when you don't belong in the mud. Bona mosbaphila lapho.
Yeah.
So you're going to come out feeling very dirty.
And they're anonymous. You know, they don't need to say anything. They don't need to, you know, their people don't, you know, their stakeholders, their partners, their jobs
don't care.
And
also they've got nothing to lose.
Yeah. So it's very interesting for me that that has now become sort of the landscape that we're operating in, especially where, I mean, MacG is a former broadcaster, you know.
But he got fired all the time.
Yes.
For exactly that.
Yes. And he's also been legitimized now because people say to him, yes, of course, say more, be more inflammatory. Because you also read these comments and you see how many people. But for me, it's also indicative of a bigger issue, because you start seeing how South African men in particular are very quick to allow other men to do whatever they want, right? And then when the tables turn, when something happens, when someone, you know, reacts or is aggrieved and they come back and they retaliate, and then it's all about, guys, you must do better. We could have done better. Be kind to people. But you're part of the instigators. So for me, it's a bit of a catch-22, because...
Yeah, as far as I know, he hasn't apologized.
No, he hasn't. And I doubt
Is he on one of the platforms, by the way? Multi-choice platforms now.
He is on a multiple-choice platform, as I understand, because I saw a statement from one of the channels.
Yeah, but I thought that was very confusing.
Yeah.
I saw Moja Love responding.
Yes, that was Moja Love's statement.
What, condemning or something?
Yeah. So
but that meant nothing.
Yeah, and Moja Love is the last people to speak, because they themselves
But also, who are they to say anything?
Yeah, so I think there is this indication onto the one of the terrestrial channels, but I stand to be corrected.
And they have not said anything.
Oh, no, I don't think they will, because, you know, what's the whole thing? Publicity, any publicity is good publicity. So
And the hope is that it will blow over.
Yeah, or that it won't, because the more conversation and talkability there is, the more they can continue, right? Because my point is, it's not the first time he's been absolutely out of hand.
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's just the fact that they just took facts that don't mean anything. And they put them together and decide that that's the narrative they're going to go with. And unfortunately, at the expense of, apart from being, you know, famous and being whoever she is, it's a woman who has every right to her bodily integrity, like you and I and every person does. And then we sit here and we say,
I don't know.
Yeah. But,
I don't know.
You know, I'll tell you how it goes tomorrow with the roast of Helen Zille. And pretty sure she's
looking forward to that.
I am. I think she's going to give as good as she gets. So
I think she'll handle it very, very well. It makes it all very different.
Yeah.
Politics has become entertaining.
It is. And I think we're also now playing for mindshare. The Real Housewives are as famous as the politicians now and vice versa. And now we find... I also like that... Look, I mean, the American president has a correspondence dinner every year where the comedians come and sort of roast the president, right? It's become very difficult in this particular climate with the current...
I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Recently, I think. I know one of the hosts was cancelled. Like, they pulled her out from being an MC because she was anti the establishment. But I think there is a definite issue where politics and popularity have now gone hand in hand, you know. Some, of course, most times you didn't know who was the opposition leader in parliament if you were someone who was into popular culture. Now I can rattle off politicians like I rattle off the celebrities, right? You know who they are. You only need to look at Sona and the red carpet that happens every year there, and you see, oh wow, these are big names. So it really is a topsy-turvy time in our lives.
Okay, so I've complained enough, right? I'm not going to say anything. I must say though, I liked the actors.
Yes,
I really liked the ensemble.
Yes,
so I have no problem at all with the ensemble. I think it's I liked them.
Which is your favorite?
I really liked the whole ensemble. I really liked them. I thought it's I loved the team. It was it was a brilliant team.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
I want you.
Someone please explain. And I get it. I get it's action packed. I so understand. I'm just asking if it had to be that gory.
It really is.
Did it have to be so violent?
I didn't watch. I didn't watch when I was watching Havoc. I was so stressed. Every time a fight scene comes up.
Can you hear how I'm just? I could not believe. I just could not believe. So much of why.
I was half expecting to send you a message and say, listen, Kupalska
Kwatani. I know. I was so offended. I didn't understand why.
It's just what people are bringing out. And I think that's what Hollywood is doing right now. They are the big blockbusters. And I think also because, you know, we talk about this all the time. There's these cycles that happen in our in our world. And sometimes...
Yay. Agukazi.
Who bloody?
I. And it's not, you know, there's action movies where it's all action packed and it's violent, but you don't have to see the blood and gore
all the time.
And the brutality, and I think that's the word I want. The brutality for me got to me. Like I.
But isn't
you
isn't,
don't have to be stabbing like that.
But isn't that along with nakedness at all what sells? I think that's what people like to watch. Because I'm the same. I'm not a big fan of just gratuitous like violence in jail. But can I tell you what was interesting about Havoc? So Havoc is the most violent of the selection.
No,
week.
It really is. I wished you had warned me.
I will next time. I'll put a bit of a red star next to it. Ooh. You know what? So there's two movies called Raid where this director comes from. So this is almost like an extension of that movie. It's not a trilogy, but it's an extension of that. And what's very interesting here is that... so it's like this... remember we're talking about how... there's these stories coming in about these corrupt politicians. Last week it was Mob... I talked to a mob club, I think, with Guy Ritchie and whatever it was last week. So this week is one of them, right? So Havoc is exactly around that. It's this narcotics division of the police where they are corrupt, and there is this mayor, okay, who is played by Forrest Whitaker. I mean...
I loved him.
You know, and he's really great.
He's amazing.
And he's just big.
Even with all my complaints.
Yeah.
he was so great.
And he comes to town,
he's
right?
He's so cool, man.
He's so cool. He's so this cool. He's a corrupt mayor-to-be.
So cool.
He has all these... Sounds like a South African sort of headline on a Sunday newspaper.
He's got so much street cred. Like, ish.
So he's the mayor, right? He's a mayoral candidate. His son is part of this very bad group that's messing around with the triad. And he has this particular policeman who's a bit dirty that he works with. And somehow or another, his son gets blamed for killing a triad leader. And then what we watch is how he uses his influence to corrupt politician, along with the corrupt cop, to come and find who actually killed the guy. And you'll be surprised who it is. Let me tell you, if you have a weak stomach, like me and Pamela have, whew, pause, walk out, come back in. It really is a very big assault on the senses, especially with the noise level and the, not a little John Wick, but on a new level, because John Wick at least is orchestrated and choreographed. You can see where sort of the movement is and you can appreciate a bit of the theater. Here is just bullets everywhere. People die every hour on the hour. It's on Netflix and it's going live tomorrow.
Okay. And then, is there some missing?
Yeah, the
Thunderbolts? Oh, okay.
The Salvable. This is Shia LaBeouf, my favorite actor. He comes in. So the interesting thing about this is that this is, for me, an interesting story, because the world of boxing has always been seen sort of like as a quiet gentleman's sport-ish. It's almost cricket-esque in the way it happens. Here we're watching this battered boxer. It's in England. It's gory. It's dusty. It looks like it's shot in Kent or Birmingham or something very wet. And this guy, the boxer who himself is problematic, he's having a hard time with his life. He has a daughter that he's trying to do good by. Mm. And so he's put back into the ring and having to go back into fighting, because, you know, he's left his job at this nursing facility where he's building a very strong bond, he's becoming very upstanding, and now he has to go back to the world of boxing for one reason or another, because Shia LaBeouf's character, Tony Campbell, comes back from prison and they've got a score they need to settle. Let me tell you, the acting is phenomenal.
Yeah,
Shia LaBeouf does... I didn't even know it was him. I didn't know it was the guy who was running around with Transformers, the Bumblebee, what.
Yeah.
You just really see a growth of character in him. And it's interesting because it's in a, again, fight scene where you're expecting him to be just sort of letting the cinematography do the work. And he comes to town. It is in theaters as of tomorrow.
Okay, Thunderbolt.
Thunderbolt is number 36 movie in the Marvel movie franchise. It deep in Yana, but not really. It's anti-heroes, right? So it's this lady called Valencia Alguera de Fontaine is head of the CIA, but she also has a bit of a corrupt little chop shop running in the background, right? And she's now part of this inquest, this impeachment inquest, where they're trying to find out what's happening. And so she knows that she's been running an off-the-books agency where she's doing some human experiments. And so she brings back these five anti-heroes to sort of kill each other because she needs to get rid of them. There's a sixth one.
Yeah.
He comes in and rescues all of them through a fashion, and we find out who really has the true power. It is absolutely riveting, especially because here it's not about the power so much, but more about vulnerability. We delve into storylines of depression. Who would have thought, right? Marvel. Hello. And
I thought it was deep for Marvel.
It was. For me also, I appreciated that. I was expecting, you know, going in there, seeing wonderful powers, and it was very interesting to me to find how they really did spin it on its head, which I think after 36 movies, we need something
new.
What
you gonna do? What you gonna do? Gotta come up with something.
The formula is the formula.
And we must churn out some money.
And they churn it out. And for me, what I appreciate about Marvel is at least it's trying to change the landscape. We always say that, you know, movies and movie genres become two things. They become a trend and then they fall off, or they become a trend and they become part of the legacy media. We build a new genre. I think there's something here. I don't know why I liked it, but I like the fact that for the first time, I'm not trying to figure out, is this Iron Man's origin story?
No, it was for Marvel. I think they've done
much better.
Rust.
Alec Baldwin. Remember, this is the movie where he was on set, and unfortunately, because of what happened with the props, the director of photography passed away. It was in 2021. We had already resigned it to the rubbish heap of history because we thought it was going to come out. It's now come out tomorrow in theaters. It's set in 1980s Wyoming, a little corner of rural America, and basically you see a nephew and an uncle who are brought together because the nephew commits a crime and is in line for capital punishment to be put to death, and they make a run for it as they're being chased by the U.S. Marshal. But you find these wonderful moments of sort of bonding and understanding, so the relationship between two men who, yes, as outlaws, but you can't help but be in love with the story of how Malume and Umshana are bonding and they're sort of finding their way through the wilderness, and in the wilderness find each other and find solace in each other. It's absolutely groundbreaking. It's called Ross, 2nd of May 2025 in theatres.
What's happening at the market?
Okay, so my favourite actor, Mike van Graan, is putting something small at the market theatre. It's playing from the 8th of May to the 1st of June. You know him from Green Man Flashing, which was my favourite Mike van Graan movie at the market theatre. Play at the market theatre. So this time it's still in 2016. It's at the height of the Fiesmas Fall, but this is called The Good White, right? For the first time, we're seeing the story as through the lens of an ally professor who is not seen as an ally because of the color of his skin. You see where I'm going with this? So he is a professor.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, very familiar. But it is an absolute stellar cast. If you think about it, Vusikunene, Renate Siedman, Shonisani Masuta, like, you can't get any better than that. But what I really appreciate about it is that we're now sort of, we've got history and we've got modern history. And we've all often lamented that we're almost stuck creatively in apartheid, you know, where from John Gani, Winston and John, all the protest theatre of the time, Sophia Town, etc., etc. We've got now a new sort of history, right, which is 2016, the Fiesmas Fall movement. It turns 10 very soon. And this is where we see how universities are now grappling with this idea of free education, but even the stakeholders involved are now, you know, the storylines around that, because I think it is the biggest thing to happen to contemporary South Africa, especially for the youth, in inverted commas. Yeah. So absolutely riveting. 8th of May to the 1st of June at the market.
You've given us a lot to think about. Thank you so much, Leroy.
I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.